But I think it would be nice to take the pressure off of you, especially with the change in job, right? Because that's a change in income, and hopefully you net out being around the same. But I do think that, like, better to suck it up and be uncomfortable for a year with roommates than be uncomfortable financially.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, and welcome to Financials Podcast, Future Rich. I am your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I am here today doing a follow-up, which we don't do often, but I love to do them, with my former guest, or current guest now, Judy. And you have made a lot of progress since you came on the show.
Yeah, hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, of course. So maybe just a quick update for our listeners, because we have a lot of new listeners. How old you are, where you live, and what we're going to talk about today.
Okay. So I am 38 years old. I live in Brooklyn, New York. Yeah.
And what are we going to talk about today?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. So 2 years ago, I decided to start looking for a house to buy, and I really wanted to make that happen. So I came to you and I had the conversation, and you advised me to really buckle up and just not spend anything. And so I follow all your advices, and yeah, so here I am about to buy the house.
Yeah, so exciting. We talked about it. It's crazy when you talk about doing something like buying a house and then you fast forward and then you're in the thick of it.
It is crazy. I can't believe this.
Also, and buying in New York City is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot. The only reason why I was able to do that is because I went through FHA. Mm-hmm. So I'm going through the FHA, but I did a lot of research on that because otherwise, you know, it's too expensive. But that allowed me to really make this dream come true.
Yes, because the FHA loan has a lower down payment requirement.
Exactly. It's 3.5 instead of 20.
Perfect. Okay, should we talk about the spreadsheet?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I'm looking at an intense spreadsheet. So I'm on with multiple tabs. So I am on the 2023-2024 tab. So just walk me through. So I was at the bottom. Let me go back to the top here.
Yeah, those were like my numbers throughout this year that I've been just like updating to see, you know, what were my house options, the cost, mm-hmm. what that would look like. And then finally, I settled, I think, on option 8, which I had like all the way from option A to, you know, all the possible house options. And then on the very top is how much I currently have, like everything, like savings. And
so when we're looking at the Chase, the city CDs, so crypto stocks. Okay, so that's everything added up. That's all your cash, right? In column B?
Correct.
Okay. So we have 65,000 saved up, and then go ahead.
The next ones are the ones that I didn't receive yet.
Down, project it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you project by the end of this year, 92,000. Is that right?
Yes. Correct.
Okay. And a big chunk of that is coming from your bonus at work.
Exactly.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
And they pay your bonus at end of year, or do you get paid it in January?
So that's
you get it,
one of the last
paychecks.
Yeah, it's going to be beginning of January.
Perfect. Okay, so that's a big chunk of money. So that's $21,450. So that'll bring your cash up to $92,383. Okay. And then, option 8, is that the one we want to look at? The one right below this?
Yes. Mm-hmm, correct.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Okay, so the house price is $800,000. Mm-hmm. Down payment and closing costs are $56,000.
Sorry, this is gonna change because my lender just said it's gonna be around 70.
Okay, that was gonna be my first question. My first question was gonna be the closing costs look very low.
Yeah, because it's gonna be 3.5, which is 20,000 plus about 40 for closing.
Yeah, yeah, closing costs are really expensive. I think that closing costs usually shock people, that people do not plan well for the closing costs.
Yeah.
Because they're so high, because you're escrowing, basically you're prepaying you're putting your taxes aside in advance. So, all right. So down payment, we think, and closing cost are going to amount to $70,000. And then the mortgage, $6,000.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that is that your that's your principal, interest, and the taxes. That's your total payment.
Okay. Yeah, it came down to like 5,800 or something. So I just rounded to 6,000.
Rounded it to 6,000. Okay. 6,000 a month. And what's your interest rate? Do you know?
It's going to be, I think, 6.3.
And then we're anticipating. So how many units are in this? Maybe we should do that just so the listeners understand.
Okay, so it's a two-family house. Okay. So one unit for sure, I'm going to rent it out. And then if I need more money, then I will rent, because there are four bedrooms on the top floor, and then the bottom one is just a studio. So I might just have roommates for the first year, you know, and rent like the one room or two rooms.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. You don't have to have roommates forever, but while it's in the while you're in the beginning of it, that would make sense.
Until I get, you know, more stable.
Yeah, more stable. Okay, so I just want to have another quick look at this. Okay, so the mortgage. So you're the amount. So you're putting $28,000 down, right? So the amount that you're taking out, your loan amount is $772,000, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so $28,000. Okay, and then your interest rate is 6.3. That's a good interest rate. Okay, and it is a 30-year?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And 30, you did 30-year fixed?
Yeah, correct. Okay. I don't know. I heard of the other one. What is the other kind that is not fixed? It's variable? Mm-hmm. Is it? What do you think of it?
Well, okay, so they are saying there are going to be rate cuts next year, so rates could go down. I don't think they're going to go down significantly, mm-hmm. but they can also go up, right? So if you think about historical mortgages, the historical 30-year fixed mortgage is actually somewhere around 7-ish percent. So you're a bit below the 30-year fixed average. So if I were you, I would lock it in, and then I would monitor the rates. And if it goes down, and if somehow it got down to like 4.5 or something, or 5, then you could consider just refinancing into another fix. I don't love variable, especially because we're going to go through these expenses, mm-hmm. because you can't really afford for it to go up.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. I would look at it from like that. What's your worst case scenario? Your worst case scenario is getting a variable and it resets higher, and then the numbers are all wrong. At least with the fix, you know exactly what it's going to be. And if you see that the rate's going to be lower, you could always refinance lower. Like for instance, I took my mortgage out and I think I did 4% in 2019, and I refinanced at the end of 19. So basically like it was like end of November. Okay. And then I refinanced basically 2 years later, 24 months later, I refinanced to 2.5.
Oh,
because it was but I only did, I just do fixed. So I just think in your situation, we're going to have a lot of expenses. It'd be nice to know that this is a definitive number. And if you see the mortgages go down, I would keep an eye on it. You can always refinance it. There is a cost associated with it, but you can shop for that. So I would do the fix, especially because we're lower than the average historical for a 30-year fixed mortgage at this point in time.
Okay.
And then the other thing is you're going to go part-time in your job, right? Because so our expenses are, so you have the mortgage payment, which is going to be your principal and interest and your taxes. And then what about your insurance? Have you got a quote for the insurance? An estimate?
Yeah, that's also included in the number. It's 24.
Okay, so that's
2400. It's
20. Okay, 2400. What are the taxes overall on the property for the year?
I can't remember, but my lender sent it to me.
Okay.
But I know that this number is all in already because we did together.
Yeah, I would just think it would be high. That's why I'm curious. That's why I was thinking the monthly might be higher.
Oh, okay. Base loan, mortgage, FHA, funding fees, $13,000. Property taxes, $1,985.
A month?
No, monthly is $165.
Your total taxes for the year for an $800,000 property are $1,000?
It's like $2,000. Just rent it out because it's $1,985.
That feels wrong.
Yeah, he said it's really low. He said it's like really low.
What was that based? Yeah, so was that based on a prior sale of the prop? Okay, so here's my issue with that. I'm sitting in a 2,000 square foot unit or building in upstate New York, and my property taxes here are $12,000 a year. And I bought it for $200,000.
Wow. Okay, so I will ask him.
What is that based off of? Because I think the carrying costs are a little low. I was just trying to run the math on the mortgage amount and then the taxes. And then I just want to make sure all your numbers are right, because we don't want to.
Right. Yeah.
You don't want any surprises. So the monthly payment, just your principal, if your loan amount is $772,000 on a 30-year fix for an interest rate of 6.3, which I'm happy with that number. Mm-hmm. That comes out to be $4,778, right? That's not including insurance, taxes, any of that. So mm-hmm. then your homeowners is $2,400, or so your insurance, right? So that's divided by 12. So that's another 200. Okay, so we'll just round up and say that's 5,000. So then if your taxes are $1,000 a year, that's still $12,000 a year on a property that's 800,000. It still feels really low.
Mm. Yeah, I'm reading off his document that he sent me.
With okay.
Yeah. But I will...
So generally the property, the taxes are based on the sale price.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to record a sale price of 800,000.
And what is the usually percentage?
It depends. So like, for instance, here in Kingston, New York, where I am, the percentage is quite high, right? Because I'm paying $12,000 on a property that I spent $200,000 on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a property in Utah, and so it's like 6% of property value, right? And in Utah, it's like 1% of property value. So I have a property that I bought for about $600,000, and the taxes on that are like $5,000. But you're in Brooklyn, so I would think Brooklyn. We can probably Google it. Let's see. But I would think that your taxes would be like.
Yeah, I actually have the taxes here, the NYC Department of Finance Bill of Summary.
Okay.
And it does say tax class 1 small home family less than 4 families, prior year tax rate 20.3%. Estimate market value, 885, because that's what it was based on. Current tax rate, 20.0850. And then they have an exemption of senior citizen homeowner that mm-hmm. is 49, it's like 5,000.
But you won't qualify for that.
No. And he told me, so he said that it's going to be more.
Did he give you an estimate of what more is?
I can't remember now, but I know that everything together ends up being 6,000.
Okay, and that's assuming that when the sale goes through, that's what the property tax will be.
Yeah.
Looking this up. Okay.
I will consult with him again now that you mentioned, but let's just run with this number and see.
Okay, we'll run with this number. I just want you to double check it just to make
that's
great. Googling. Okay. Because you have property tax and then you have school tax too, right?
I don't know about that.
Okay, that's the next, ask them that question. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to look up I would think you also have school tax. Like in Utah, I just pay one tax. But in New York, I have school tax and property tax. And that's the combined number. This is commercially zoned, so it's a little bit higher, but it's still pretty high between both of the taxes.
Mm.
But you have two. So I just don't know. I would assume you would also have two being in the state of New York, that you have school tax and you would have property tax. And the school tax in New York generally is higher than your property tax.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. New York state teachers are paid well. So that's where it comes from, the taxes. So ask if, what about school tax?
Okay.
But yes. Okay. We'll go on that number, but I do want you to follow up and just verify.
Okay.
What the amount is, because I think that is sometimes something that surprises people. The tax bill goes up once they sell. It takes like a year, and then they get reassessed.
Okay, that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if they're showing you the historical taxes, that was based on the last purchase price, right? And they can assess it a little bit, but it gets assessed more. There's usually a bigger jump in value because when it sells. Okay, so we're gonna go with the number of 6,000, and then the rent income you're anticipating is going to be 14,000.
Yeah. I calculated for 7 months only because I'm, you know, envisioning doing some painting and like renovating.
Yeah. Okay. There'll be some work. And then your fixed expenses come in at 46,000. So that's all the mortgage, and then minus the rental income, you're going to be left with 46,000 in fixed expenses, or what?
No, the fixed expenses are actually how, like, all my expenses that are currently, like, outside of mortgage.
Okay. So your life is 40,000, 46,800.
Yeah.
Outside of the mortgage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like 4,000 per month. Yeah.
4,000. Yep. Okay. And then you have a buffer, and that's just the leftover cash. What's the buffer?
The buffer is something that I would just like to be safe. So I put a number there that I want to have.
Okay.
So I don't have that. That's like a pending estimate.
Okay. Okay. So then the total for 8 months.
I would need like 100,000.
100,000 for the year.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're maybe, so where are we coming up with that?
So what is it?
So the projected that you need is 98,800.
Yeah.
And that's adding up the mortgage for 11 months, that's subtracting out, though, what you think you might rent it for. Those are your fixed expenses. And then that's also including the buffer, right?
Yeah, that I would need.
Okay, that you would need. So that's how much you need really for next year, for 2024, is 100,000. Exactly.
And then I'm going part-time in my job, and I think I will be making, I don't know, I didn't talk to my boss. I really pushed him to talk this week, but he didn't have time. But okay. I think it's going to be around 85.
You're going to make?
Yes. And then I can take, you know, because I'm part-time, I have more time to work on the house, but I can also take like additional 1099 jobs, freelance jobs to compensate, you know?
Yes. Okay. So part-time, you think you're going to make 85, but 85 is gross, right?
Yes.
And then the other number we need is net.
Okay.
Right. So we need 100,000 net, which is, you know, we have to then pay FICA. So Social Security, Medicare, federal, state, city.
It's like everyone 30, has 30%, right?
Yeah. Everybody else has, we can do that. Okay. So wait, what? So I have a question. So you're going to go part-time in your job so that you have the time to flip, right?
Yeah.
To do the flip. How much do you make full-time now?
130 is my base. And I have a bonus, which is about 40.
Okay. Which is, do you make very good money?
Yeah. But it's really slow at my job right now. And so it's almost like I have to go part-time, you know?
Oh, because there's not enough?
Yeah. So what my boss offered is that going part-time and doing like a lower base, but then increasing my commission so that I can kind of make up for it. And I'm hoping, I don't know how much he's going to say, but it seems like he says to even up. So I think it's on the best case scenario, it's going to end up being the same as I'm making right now, 130, but I'm looking at the worst case scenario.
Okay. I would like to thank our podcast partner, AG1, the daily foundational nutrition supplement that supports whole body health. I gave AG1 a try because I wanted a single solution to support my immune system as a busy entrepreneur. I drink AG1 first thing in the morning before I even have my coffee, and it makes me feel ready to take on my hectic day. This has been the best investment into my daily routine and my health with just one scoop in the morning. If you're looking for a simpler, effective investment for your health, try AG1. And get 5 free AG1 travel packs and a free 1-year supply of vitamin D with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/futurerich. That's drinkag1.com/futurerich. Check it out.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And what do you do for work? Remind me.
I'm a photo producer and studio manager.
Okay. Okay, so your boss asked you to go part-time.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of. You were like, hey, I'd like to go. Can you work with me? And because the other thing I was going to say, but it doesn't seem like this is the case, is like you could wait for them to like, if they were going to let you go. So part-time at that salary. And then if you got commission on top of it and you could get, if you could replicate kind of what you're doing in a different format, right? So instead of being higher base, lower bonus, you're going to be lower base, and then ideally you make that up in the commission.
Yeah.
But it's a big carrying cost, right? So if your expenses are 4 and the mortgage is 6, so it's 10,000 monthly you need.
Yes.
Right, to cover everything. So I do like the idea of taking roommates just maybe in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then take some pressure off.
My boyfriend is moving in with me too, and he's going to pay me rent. So it's going to be $1,500 from him.
I love that. I charge my husband rent.
Yes, exactly. That's great. $1,500 from him. That's why he's paying for his room right now. And then probably another $2,000 from the base apartment, the ground apartment. And then if I have to, another $1,000 for one or $2,000 for two of the rooms.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Perfect. I think if I were in your shoes, this is a big endeavor, and I hope you don't have my lock, and I hope everything goes swimmingly, and that you don't get in there and then you're like, I have to replace a cast iron pipe for some ungodly amount of money because nobody has working toilets. Because how many toilets are in there?
2.
The whole property?
Yeah.
2. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's better. But I think it would be nice to take the pressure off of you, especially with the change in job, right? Because that's a change in income, and hopefully you net out being around the same. But I do think that, like, better to suck it up and be uncomfortable for a year with roommates than be uncomfortable financially.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And then ultimately the goal would be, I'm thinking, right, is that then this is another income stream for you as you start to, yeah, tell me what your plan is. What's your plan?
So my plan is actually, I can't leave my job right now, but I would love to move upstate. And so upstate New York and just have like a calmer life.
Do you want to be in Kingston with me? You can go get coffee.
Exactly. So my goal is that. And I feel like in order to do that, I would need to, you know, have my first house here, flip, and then buy something upstate. And so that gives me, I'm thinking of flipping in 3 years. So, and then another portion of that is that this house was for sale at $899. It was for $900,000. And then, but there's a lot of, like, it's scary, the amount of things that are inside. So it looks very overwhelming. Like, the carpet is red, you know, the curtains are purple.
Like the 70s, yeah.
Exactly. And so I looked at it and I was like, $899, but I don't know if people will want to get it, you know? So I told the agent, I said, I have $800. I have a pre-approval for $800. And he said, no, she's never going to lower that. And I'm like, okay, if she does, come back to me. And then a month and a half passed. And then he called me and he said, okay, she's going to do it. She wants to move into a little apartment and she wants to let go. And, you know.
She's older.
And he said.
Yeah, she's trying to downsize.
Yeah. And so he said, I'm sure this house is going to appraise for $950,000 or $1 million. And I looked around that area and it's all very up and coming, you know, growing.
Okay, so then your perfect scenario is, yeah, get the roommates, let them flip this for you. Okay. Be like, thank you, take my money, thank you very much.
Yeah, that's what
it's temporary. Roommates are temporary. Every sort of sacrifice in life, in my opinion, is temporary. And if it's going to help you leapfrog to where you want to be, like, why not do that faster? And roommates help you do that faster. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you buy for $800, and we're not going to have a lot of equity in it, right? So 3.5% down, which is great, but you're right. The way to really get money out of this is for you to sell it. Yeah. That's where you take away money. And so let the roommates pay the taxes and the mortgage because you're just looking for and give you the time, right? So that you can take out the red carpet. You can, you know, make it look perfect for a young person to buy. What is it? Like an all white kitchen, wood floors.
Yeah.
No red carpet. And so then if you sell it for $1 million, and yes, you want to be there for 3 years, because remember, do you know about the primary residence capital gain exclusion rule?
No.
Oh, this is the whole reason you're doing it. You're doing it to take advantage of one of the biggest tax rates in our tax code.
Nice.
This is why you're doing
it. Tell me more.
This is why you do this. Okay, so you do this because when you go to sell a house that is your primary residence, which this will be, you're going to live in it exclusively. We're just going to fast forward. You're living in it for 3 years. When you go to sell and the property appraises, we're just going to throw out $1.1 million. You bought it for $800 from the little old lady who was like, I have to get out of here.
Yeah.
and you got it for cheaper because the rates went up and nobody, it's harder to sell a house at that price, right? And you were waiting around being like, I'm happy to buy it from you, but only at this price, which was such a good move. And now it appraises for 1.1. Oh, will you be married in 3 years? No, it's only going to be in your name. Okay, so we actually don't want it to go, okay, here. You want it to sell, sorry, I had to think through this.
Love it.
You want it to sell for $1,050,000. So it sells for $1,050,000. Your profit in it is $250,000 is your profit. Mm-hmm. That meets the primary residence capital gain exclusion for a single person. You don't pay any taxes on a gain of a primary residence sale. Yeah, no tax, zero. Yes. I love your facial reaction because only somebody in New York City would be like, no taxes. I tip or pay taxes on every single experience. I wake up in the morning and I tip you. Then you pay me and I pay taxes. And then I tip you and then I pay taxes all day until you go to bed. It's the biggest loophole in the tax code, I think, one of them. And so when you sell this property for a profit of $250,000, there's no taxes on that.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's the best news.
Yeah, your lender didn't tell you that, did they?
No, of course not.
Oh, they skip over the good stuff. I mean, I also really want to make sure all the numbers are right, more so than
Absolutely. The lender. If they're not, then I might just reconsider not buying. Then I'll have like a third follow-up with you.
Yeah, then let me know if the numbers are wrong. If all the numbers work, I would 100% go to roommate. The reason why is the numbers are all so close, right? Like, yes, because the job is changing. This is expensive. But man, if you can suck it up and have roommates for literally 36 months, and then you go to sell this. And even so, if you have more gains, let's say you do sell it for 1.1 and you're over, you only pay capital gains on the difference. The 250 comes back to you with nothing, no tax.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's why I wanted to talk to you today. It's really because it's a scary move for me that I did the monthly provision for like every month. And then it seems like by April, I'm going to be like 20,000 negative, but I know it's a good investment. I know that in 3 years it's going to pay off and it's going to be, you know.
Yeah. So that's why you just have to have the roommates.
Okay. Okay.
You just can't be too proud. You can't be like, I'm in my late 30s. I don't want to have roommates. You're doing this to sell this property for an appreciated value in three. You're making a strategic decision to change your life to try and get a gain of, we'll just say conservatively, because you're saying that the realtor's now saying it would appraise at 900. So there's already a $100,000 gain. You're going to try and double that, but you're going to have to make sacrifices to do it. And so I think having the roommates just to make sure it doesn't. Because the other thing is if it goes sideways and you end up not having enough money, that's going to destroy your financial life.
Yes.
Right? So we're like in the middle. We want to make sure it goes positive. It doesn't go negative. And so I would like be like, I'm going to go back to my 20s. Every room is rented. Everyone pays me. Yeah. And like whatever you have to do to make it like, I don't know, be like there's a mandatory cleaning person because I'm not going to clean up after all your roommates. It's like however you want to do it. But I definitely think I would take the pressure off of you financially in the interim because the goal is that you go to sell this as your primary residence and it has appreciated, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or also in 3 years, maybe you're back making the income that you're right? There's a lot of things that can happen. I just wouldn't count on the income of the commissions. A roommate is like a definitive, you know, you're going to get the money. A commission, you don't know.
Yeah. Now, my other question for you is FHA seems like I only have to live in a house for the first year and then I don't have to. So maybe can I rent the whole thing and just go live in, I don't know,
in Kingston,
my boyfriend's house?
Yeah, you could also go house. You could. Yeah. So you could also rent the whole thing. OK, so but remember, though, the primary residence to get that, you have to qualify for that. And this is where people make a mistake is they say, I'm going to rent it. You have to follow the rules to get that capital gain exclusion, which will be worth it to you as a New York City resident. Not paying tax on $250,000 is worth it. And so therefore, it has to be your primary residence for 2 of 5 years.
Okay, got it.
So just have to stick it out for two.
Okay.
And then you have to, then you want to sell it. You can do it every 5 years. And you want to always, you know, disclaimer of the podcast, you want to verify with your tax professional because that's a tax thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't want to, you want to make sure if you are going to move out of there that you're still not, you don't want to disqualify yourself for the primary residence.
Okay, cool. Okay.
But yeah, no, I like it. Okay, so is there anything else I'm missing? So I want you to verify, I would like for you to verify the taxes.
Yeah, school taxes and property taxes.
Property taxes and school taxes. And then ask them, is what is the number they're giving you? Is it based on the prior owner? Because the prior owner sounds like an old lady, and there's exemptions you get as older people, like a star exemption or seeing. There's other exemptions you get that you're not going to qualify for, which would have lowered her taxes. So you want to verify that. And then... is there anything else I'm missing?
No, I think that's it. So if you were according to your numbers, how much the taxes would be?
I don't know what the taxes are in Brooklyn. I actually...
Okay.
To go through it one more time. What are you going to be... deposit down payment. What are you going to be bringing in monthly with your new role at work with the part-time?
So let's say around... I think like 85 divided by 12... That's 7,000 times, I would say 35% for taxes and everything.
Yeah.
Minus, yeah, 4,500
a month.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, yeah, just so, and so we're going to be negative. So 4,500 a month. And then, let's see. And then your boyfriend's going to pay you 1,500, right?
Yeah. And then another room, 2,000.
Yeah. Rent, one, rent. Yeah. You would definitely have to have the rent. Because hopefully your income's higher, but. And because you know why? I was like, how did you get approved for this? They approved you based on your prior income. They don't know you're going part-time.
Yes, and that's crazy because I had a month to make this work out. And my boyfriend was like, why are you rushing so much? And I said, because
if your income changes,
it's a really good deal. I know I can make money on this. And I only have a month before my work goes for. I'm also like considering telling my boss, like, can you just hold off on my salary for the January? And then I can pay back. I don't know. It doesn't matter. As if like I'm still making the same, you know?
Yeah. And he could just reduce you. He could just reduce you from that point on and average it. Yeah. So yeah. I was just, because I was like, wait, they approved you for a mortgage that you actually cannot cover.
No.
Okay. You have to rent the rooms. You're going to be like the queen bee of this place, but you are going to rent them. You have to, because you have no way to eat.
Otherwise, I cannot. Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot. Yeah, you have to rent it. Hey, look, I'm all about taking gambles. I've taken gambles and they've paid off for me. In the midst of taking a gamble, it's usually miserable. I don't know anyone who's like, so I'm completely broke and I'm having the best time of my life. You just have to keep your eye on the end game, which is you have done your research. It's a popular neighborhood, up and coming. You know that if with some love and as you renovate it, that you could sell it for more, and that's where you're going to make your money. You're not going to make it.
Yeah.
You're not going to make it on the rent. You're going to make it if you go to sell this and you profit, ideally $250,000 with no taxes. That's a big change to your net worth.
Yeah. So you don't think that's totally crazy, right?
I mean, I think it's kind. The bank would be like, if you were like, so my income's 4,500, I'd like a mortgage for 6,000. They'd be like, yeah, no, we don't work like that. We did that for a little bit during the subprime mortgage crisis. It didn't work out well for us. Okay. They made movies about us giving people mortgages they couldn't afford. No, you would never get this mortgage. But I understand where your logic is. And I really am a big believer that sometimes you have to do like radical things. You just are going to really have to hustle you're going to have to be very mindful of like what you're spending, what is coming to make it work. Yeah. And if you're willing to sacrifice everything, I am a big believer that if people put their heads down and make a decision, you can make it work.
Yeah.
Understanding the risk that if you don't make your mortgage, it's not going to go well, right? Like it's very bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's 9,000.
You're an adult. Yeah.
So it's 9,000. It seems like it's going to be the worst case scenario income, and my mortgage is going to be 6,000. So that means I have 3,000 to live with, which is 1,500 minus of what I'm living with nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And even less, because I feel like everybody's saying to me, if you're estimating X, estimate 3X. Yeah,
more.
3X.
Yeah. It's kind of a bummer you're going part-time in your job, because with your job, it would be tight, but then like all the extra money from rent would be like covering everything.
Yeah. Yeah. But maybe, I don't know, that's like my plan. I'm starting to look into other part-times too, you know? So
yeah,
I'm hoping that I can get like extra work. Just, I don't know, even waitressing, I don't care, you know? Like,
yeah, no, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like you just have to like, no ego. Fine. Like you just have to do whatever you have to do to make this work. And then if you can sell this for an appreciated amount, I mean, to make $200,000 in 3 years, that's no tax. And then, as you said, if you want to go and buy upstate, then you could even say, you could do another FHA, put 3.5 down again, and now you have put a lot of money away, or you could put a higher down payment down. I'm like, this is like a movie. I want to like, I want it to work, but I'm also slightly scared. I'm also slightly scared.
Me too. But
I do think you have the right attitude. I think that sometimes I make judgment calls, like not to judge the person, but there are certain people that say they will make a sacrifice and then actually like can't stomach it, which is not who I am. So I have a hard time with that. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I've taken on waitressing jobs. I've rented out the bedroom of my apartment and slept on the couch.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But yeah, well, because the thing is, it's just like, you can't not pay your bills. Like, I got an eviction notice from my apartment because I didn't pay my rent on time. And I was like, well, this isn't, I can't breathe. And so I had a friend of mine who living in Staten Island at the time, and she was saving money to buy a home. I was like, I have a great idea. Why don't you rent my apartment? It's right by the office. You're commuting an hour to work. I can't afford my apartment and I don't want to give it up because I should be able to afford my apartment soon, just not today. And so she rented my apartment and I come back on the weekends and sleep on the couch. It's crazy. And some people won't do those things. And it sucked. But it like leapfrogged me financially by taking that step back to buy a business, but it was very expensive. And I'm running into the same issue that you have, right? You're like running the numbers. You're like, not working out, but I know I can make it happen. Right. And so conceptual, you know, regular advice is like, don't do it. But there are there's a certain type of person who says, I don't care how I have to make this work. I'm going to figure it out. I don't care if I have to bartend or waitress. I am going to do whatever it takes, including I will take a 22-year-old roommate at 38-year-olds. I do not care. I'm going to do whatever it is to change my future. And you strike me as that type of person.
Yay. Future rich.
Yes, future rich. Because not everyone is. A lot of people say they're going to make a sacrifice, and then it's just like, I'm not seeing sacrifice. So I do think you can do it. I just think it's going to be, you have to remember, it's going to be a journey. But it's not, you're not at the destination. So all of it will be temporary. So if you have to take, and also I always try to look at like waiting tables, like it wasn't like on my, wasn't like, I'm going to graduate college, go work on Wall Street. And then I'm going to work at a very high-end hamburger store and sell $18 hamburgers. Like it wasn't like, this seems like that makes total sense, right? No, it doesn't make sense that you leave a very big career to go sell hamburgers. Exactly. But it was fun. I met a lot of really great people. Yeah. And, you know, whatever. That's life. So yeah. I think that stuff is worth it. I think that if you're willing to make the sacrifices, like this will be a very big lifestyle change. I can absolutely work. And I just think it's important to know that the risk is there is no option for you to not make it work. If you don't pay the mortgage, it's so bad. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to come.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be rooting for you.
Thank you so much, Barbara. And I'll let you know the end of the movie.
Yeah, let me know. No, I'm like very, I'll be rooting for you. If anyone needs a roommate in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to send them your way. Okay. Okay, so just promise me you're going to check the taxes.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'm going to call my lender right now.
Okay. But I'm excited for you. And then you can come live upstate with me.
Yay. Sounds perfect.
Okay. All right. You have a great rest of your day. And I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.